Ryan Dempster.
There's a 1-1 to Freeman. Oh, he caught it! Right into the palm of Dempster's glove.
Ooh,
that is a little smile there from Dempster.
What would Harry say right now about this win?
Well, I gotta tell you, there's a lot of champagne in here. I haven't seen this much champagne since my wedding. We had a party just like this. It was phenomenal. Go Cubs!
That was outstanding.
8:40. Ryan Dempster live in the studio. Nice to see you. Nice of you to do this. Appreciate you coming in.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad I could come in and spend some time this morning with you guys and have a little fun.
Ride your bike?
Yeah, I rode a Divvy in.
Yeah. So where is it?
Well, I dropped it off over on Grand. And like.
Otherwise, you get double charge. You can't afford that. You're on a fixed income.
Right? $8 for every extra half hour.
That's what I'm saying. Got to be careful.
It's like parking in the city.
Yeah, it's no good. How's the family? Everybody good?
Yeah, they're good. Kids are school. Son's starting football. He's got his first football game this Sunday. So
wow. Yeah. What kind of sideline dad are you?
Sorry, this Saturday. I'm mellow. Yeah, I let the coaches whoop it up, you know. I'm
right, not rooting for internally.
I just want him to pay attention and hustle. If he does both of those things, I'm happy.
Yeah, work hard, have fun.
Yeah.
That's what it's about. Yeah. And the parents all needed to be reminded every preseason, it's not about you.
Right, it's about right. It's definitely not about us as the parents. It's the kids for sure.
One game away. Magic numbers down to one. Dave Ennett's worst nightmare is the Cubs lose this afternoon and they clinch with the Cardinals loss at midnight again tonight. But I was telling him.
Well, it's not my worst nightmare.
Well, it's one of your nightmares. But I was mentioning the other day, how great is it that as a Cub fan, that's a concern now when they clinch?
Right?
There was a lot of years where this really wasn't in the discussion.
No, it just shows you. Like, listen, 07, 08, I was on two really good teams. 08 was one of the best teams I'd ever been on until 2013. This team's way better than those teams.
Is that right?
It really is. I mean, they got every piece of the puzzle, but they're not content. They want to get after it. I really am a big, humongous fan of Jason Hammel right now, because if we would have swept, I would have had to fly to St. Louis and go celebrate with the team. So the fact that he took one for the team and made sure we could do it at home is really, really what a great teammate.
Yeah, and you know, nice. That's the kind of guy stepping up. Up, you know? You get one extra L, but we have the party at the house.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's what that celebration room's for, right? They planned it on using it for this, so let those guys enjoy that moment tonight at home.
Andre mentioned before, do you have any idea how much champagne you go through in a celebration like this?
Oh, man.
Because divisionally, am I right about this? Benny's will allocate a certain amount for a divisional title, a certain amount more for the league championship, and we haven't seen the World Series stash, have we? But this is the year.
I always loved, too. I remember in Boston when we did it, same sort of thing. It progressively got more and more. And then we had this gigantic, humongous bottle of, I don't know, Alizé or something like that. And Ortiz, instead of saving it, he just decided it was a good idea to pop it open right there and spray it all over everybody. I think it was like a $20,000 bottle, but when you're in the moment, you're enjoying
Poppy,
it like that.
Not that one, Poppy.
But, I mean, I wonder what percentage actually gets consumed in those scenarios. I mean, I'm sure a lot of it does, but most of it just gets sprayed around, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it gets sprayed usually mid-interview. Somebody's doing an interview. And
did you have glasses on in 13?
Eventually. I like the burn. I want to feel the burn. The burn is the most enjoyable burn you'll ever get.
Sure,
Mike Napoli, I just went to lunch with him. They were in town with the Indians playing the White Sox yesterday. And he's with the Indians. They're not used to winning as well. And a bunch of the young guys are asking him when they get goggles. He says, you don't get goggles. It's your first time going to the playoffs.
Especially
you
the young guys.
You got to have red eyes the next morning. I want your eyes barely open. You know, that's how it goes. You got to wear that.
You ask for goggles, you're sitting down.
Right? You see you later. Go in the clubhouse.
Yeah. Come on. Who are you kidding? Who do you think this is going to mean the most to tonight, Joe? Well, assuming this gets done, and I assume it will. Because there's no, you know, you look at this team, you go, the veteran's 25. You know, you got Grandpa, David Ross, right? Everybody else is just kids.
Yeah, you know what?
I think you look at Madden. This is such a big deal for Madden.
Yeah, it is. I look at it for Madden. To be really honest with you, player-wise, I look at Anthony Rizzo. He was a guy who kind of was here at the beginning of the rebuild and stuck it out and led by example every time he went out there. He posted up every day, asked to play. He plays. And then I look at it more so, I look at the Ricketts. I look at Tom and Laura and Pete and Todd, and especially Tom. He's there every day seeing this to fruition. And, you know, yeah, last year you win you know, a playoff series against the Cardinals, but this is your first division title as owner, and I think that's a huge moment for the Chicago Cubs because this isn't going away. This is a sustainable thing that's going to be at least contended for year after year.
Is Ricketts still wandering around during the game and just shaking fans' hands?
Always.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty awesome. Up in the upper deck, handing out balls to kids who happen to sneak away on a school night.
It's the Rocky Wirtz model.
Yeah.
You know, but here's the thing, and you know this because you're a Canadian guy and a hockey fan. We expect it of hockey. We expect the gratitude from hockey because these NHL players have always shown so much gratitude. Baseball, you don't have that kind of tradition, and the Ricketts family deserves credit for kind of fostering that with this team.
Yeah, and I think it's something that, you know, early on was established, like, listen, this is what we're going to be all about. This is how we're going to run things. We're a family first, so we're going to treat it like a family. Wrigley is going to be a family-type atmosphere. As crazy as that sounds, you know, with the Friday afternoons, everybody's skipping out of work to go drink beer in the bleachers, but it really is that way. The way they treat the players, the staff, and their families, the way they take care of everybody, and that just kind of oozes into the fan base and how they kind of embrace that. And it's a beautiful place to go watch a game. It's only going to get prettier when everything's done there, and it's just going to be probably the most sought-after place to go in professional baseball to go watch a game.
You know, it was cool yesterday after the game in St. Louis, Joe was talking about all of the potential with his team and how kind of what you just said, Ryan, I mean, this isn't going to be a one-time deal. I mean, these guys are young. And then he said, but Rizzo screwed it up for everybody because he's 27. So the average age skews a little higher because of him.
Isn't that funny that the veteran on your team, position player wise, your everyday player happens to be a 27-year-old? Like, what a great thing to
have. Scare the rest of the league.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's, you know, you look at it, you're established at first, second, short, third base, you know, in the outfield, behind the plate now with Wilson Contreras. And this is a great situation to be in, to have all these young position players that are, you know, with you, controllable for a long time and they want it. They want to be this, you know, team that is gunned after. Put the target on our back, like Joe said, embrace the target. Yeah, absolutely. Come get us. You know, there was a moment last year, and a lot of people don't know about this. There was a play at second base where Yadier Molina took out Addison Russell. Mm-hmm. And he took him out pretty hard. Mm-hmm. And there was this thing, is he going to get thrown at? And he came to the plate the next at bat. And he said to David Ross, hey, my bad, I'm just trying to play hard. I'm not trying to play dirty. And David Ross looked right at him. He said, no, keep doing what you're doing because you're just making us better. And I think that's a great thing.
Don't.
Yeah, it teaches those guys that, hey, if we play at a higher level, you know what? You guys are better than other people. So if you play at your elite level and execute, you're going to outperform people.
Well, you know, for years, Cubs fans had to look at those Cardinals teams, and they always seemed to find the right people and players that you didn't hear of. And, you know, where are they coming up with these folks? And you look at what the front office has done to find players like that and to build this farm system up to what it is. That's why it's sustainable for the next 5 and probably the next 10.
Yeah, for sure. And you look at, you know, guys who can play multiple positions. You know, you got a Gold Glove infielder. He rides the bench most of the time in Javi Baez. So, you know, and then you're going out and
you're not going to keep them all. I mean, some are going to go, but the fact is when you're that deep, you don't have to keep them all.
No, you don't. And if there comes a moment where you have to make a trade for somebody or you have to let a guy go in free agency because you can't afford to keep all those guys, the depth is huge. You see it. People get hurt all the time. So having depth is huge.
You want to ask Demps a question? Text him. 312-981-7200 is the number. Maybe a Divvy Bike question, possibly a question on the upcoming NHL season. You know, the things he's passionate about. Oh, yeah, and the Cubs, too.
I get tired of being nitpicked, and I get tired of being criticized unjustly. Why don't they talk to me first before they do it? Okay? And get my viewpoints and my feelings, and then make a determination. You know? The same way that I get called ridiculous, they're ridiculous in the way they report things, too. And another thing I'm going to say, I've won over 1,800 games in a manager, and I'm not a damn dummy. That I can tell you. Okay? There are only 13 others that have won more games than me. So I guess I think I know what the hell I'm doing. I don't care about talking to them. I'm talking to you for them. But I'm tired of it. You know, and Steve Stone, he's got enough problems doing what he does with the White Sox. What job has he had in baseball besides talking on television?
Oh, how the mood has changed. That's classic Lou, and that's from 2008, last time they won. Baseball season's underway. It's been 8 years. And there was a stretch, Dave, of 2 or 3 or 4 years where it felt like 8 years.
Yeah, yeah. In four.
And here they are on the verge. They wrap it up today. What sort of environment is it going to be in the clubhouse afterwards? Everybody duck?
Extremely fun. Extremely fun. You know, whether it's today or tomorrow or whatever it ends up being, you know, I think they put it right. Like, you know, somebody asked me, oh, are they going to pour champagne if they win the division? You know, that's not the end goal. And it's like, whoa, whoa. You got to enjoy each moment.
Every step
of sure. the way. Because there's guys that weren't in that locker room last year. There's guys who weren't on that team. And this team stands alone as its own self. It's not the 2012 Cubs, not the 08 Cubs, not the 2015 Cubs. It's the 2016 Cubs. So one thing about these guys, being around them, seeing them, they like to have a good time, and there's going to be a good time had when that does happen.
Ryan Dempster's here, Dave Innitt.
And you were fortunate to play on winning teams where you had those celebrations. There are guys who play their whole careers and never get the opportunity, so you got to enjoy those. I have to ask you about Kyle Hendricks, because there probably isn't a player in baseball who has opened more eyes this year, Ryan, and burst onto the scene, and people look at him and say, man, how's he doing this? And he's getting better as the year goes on.
Yeah, it's he's putting on a clinic, pitching 101. Actually, probably more advanced pitching than that. But it really is that simple. And you look at what he's doing and how he's doing it. He's commanding his fastball. He's taking his fastball and making it four pitches. And what I mean that is he pitches down and away, up and away, up and in, down and in. So he puts it in four quadrants of the strike zone. And then he changes speeds probably as good as anybody in baseball right now. He's got that changeup that reminds people of another right-hander who's in the Hall of Fame. And I'm not comparing him to Greg Maddux, mm-hmm. but what he's doing is much similar to what Greg did. And you talk about domination. Everybody wants domination to be 95 miles an hour, and they want it to be 280 strikeouts. But there's other ways to dominate a baseball game. And he gives the most comfortable 0-for-4 at-bat you'll ever get. You'll go up there, go 0-for-4, and go, how did I not get a hit? And he progressively has gotten better and better. And he just shows you that there's no excuses. When people say, oh, you know, I was good in high school or I was good in college, but I only threw 88 miles an hour. Well, you know what? So does Kyle Hendricks. And he executes and he locates. And he never lets emotions get in the way. He's very in control of his body, his mind, and he just worries about executing that pitch right there. And it's the toughest thing to do. It's tough to do for a little leaguer when they're sitting at there out on the field and they give up a hit or somebody makes an error or a run scores. Their shoulders go down. I did it when I was playing. You feel sorry for yourself, and it stops you from making that next pitch. He doesn't do that. He's been incredible this year. We got the top two contenders for the Cy Young. That's just fact. If you look at it, those two guys at the top of the rotation, him and Lester, have been amazing. So one of those two guys should win it.
Ernie Banks and Ron Santo. You don't think they're guiding this one too hard, do you? There's your managers. And I'm sure Joe Maddon would agree. Somewhere Ernie Banks and Ron Santo are pulling the levers.
100%. Those are probably two of, if not the strongest Cubs fans out there. Nobody was more passionate than Ron Santo and Ernie Banks likewise. I know they're up there. They're watching down. They're doing whatever they have to do, whether that's pull on the jersey of a Dizzy Dean or something like that sure that they beat the Cardinals it's amazing what those guys brought day in and day out to the field when you saw them. And those guys out there right now, the 2016 Cubs, they're playing for their team, but they're also playing for those guys as well, and they'll say that exact same thing.
Just looking at some numbers quickly here, and I know how much you appreciate your career, and fans, how much fans appreciate Dems. But those two guys played almost 5,000 games with never ever playing a playoff game. Different system than them, less teams. You had an East Division, a West Division. The National League played the American League. You had one round in your World Series, and you're done. But that kind of talent, 5,000 games without ever seeing a playoff game.
Yeah,
what this year is about. That's what the Cubs' success is about, right?
Well, and it makes me, it should make you realize as a player when you do get there to not forget to really enjoy that moment.
Don't expect it's going to happen next year.
You don't know. And as great as things look for the future, it's the now right now. Yeah, the mm-hmm. future is coming, and that might be a division title. That might be moving to an NLCS, and that might be going to World Series. But just appreciate the now and enjoy the now. Enjoy that champagne when it gets flowing, and enjoy the moment. Live in the moment, embrace it, and have so much fun with it, because there's no guarantees.
Texter wants to know if you're ever going to get on the field and coach.
No.
No interest.
I don't really have an interest. I think, I don't know, maybe that'll change down the road. I have more interest in coaching 11 or 12-year-olds when my son gets a little bit older than I do getting out on a big league field.
One of the Wrigley ushers said you're always nice to them and wanted to say thank you.
You're very welcome. Yes. Absolutely. I always treated it like that. When you go to Wrigley Field, yeah, we go out there on the field and play, but we're all working trying to accomplish the same goal
same
and have
company.
The same thing, same company. So get to know each other and say hi, and it means a lot to me that somebody would write in and say that, so thank you.
Cubs are going to play one of three teams in the division series, depending on how this wild card thing shakes out, the Giants, the Mets, or the Cardinals. You know, I know the Giants have had a rough second half, and they've had a rough last week or so, too. The Mets, again, they look like their pitching has kind of come back into form here, and you've got to deal with the Syndergaard and guys like that. And then the Cardinals are the Cardinals. So if you had your druthers, Ryan, I mean, again, these are tough problems to have, picking which team you're going to play in the playoffs.
Yeah, well, very, very tough. And the scary part about the wild card game, as we've seen in the past, is that all it takes is a team to kind of get hot at the right time.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
To be honest, I'm surprised there haven't been more symptoms.
Would loss of sight in one eye be a symptom?
Possibly.
And temporary paralysis?
Definitely.
There might have been some symptoms before today.
Why wouldn't you get those checked out?
He sent me to Jenny Craig.
Oh my God. Dad, temporary paralysis?
I thought it was a weight thing.
It seems like you guys have some stuff to work out.
Scene from the Hollers with the pride of DeKalb, Richard Jenkins. How about this? Fun with Dick and Jane, 6 feet under, cheaper by the dozen, intolerable cruelty. There's something about Mary, Olive Kittredge, White House Down, Jack Reacher, Hall Pass, the Hollers, as I mentioned, and Step Brothers. And that's what Richard did last weekend. The hardest working man in show business. Joins us now. It's Richard Jenkins. I'm a big fan, and it's nice to have you on the show.
Thank you. And I'm tired because I've been working so hard.
Ryan Dempster, Chicago Cubs legend, is in studio. I said, Richard Jenkins is going to be on. I showed him your picture. He goes, yeah, Step Brothers.
Ryan Dempster, my gosh, that's great.
Ryan, say hi.
Morning, Richard. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm super excited for the possibility of clinching a division title today and to talk to you all in the same day, so this is great.
I know, but I keep thinking something's going to go wrong.
Ah, typical Cubs fan. Come on, you're better than that now.
I am better than that, and the Cubs are better than they've ever been. Because I'm 1969. That's me. I mean, I was the guy. I was watching. It all went. It was a sad day. Anyway,
The good news is we're already over that hump.
Yeah. It's they're the best team in baseball.
All right, so let's talk about the Hollers.
Team in baseball ever.
They're unbelievable. They really are. Let's talk about the Hollers. When you saw the script, did you go goofy, but I like it, or did it ring with you right away?
First 4 or 5 pages, I said, I really got to do this. I like this. I like the twists and turns, and you know, things change. Do a 180 immediately, and so John Krasinski asked me to do it, and who directed it and stars in it. And I said, who's playing the mom? He said, I've offered it to Margo Martindale. I said, well, if she signs on, I'm in. Because she's amazing. Amazing actress.
The thing about you, you know, I mentioned, you know, that guy theory. People go, Richard Jenkins, Richard Jenkins, Richard Jenkins. Then they see your face. Yeah, that guy. You have got an IMDb list of films here, which is unbelievable. And
it's probably not a good idea for me to be doing radio.
No, because we know we're fans. But every single genre that I could find in this list, you've covered. I mean, that's a hell of a testament as an actor, because that means people are spending money to make these believe in you.
Yeah, I'm a lucky guy. I've been a very fortunate man. I've got to do a lot of different kinds of things. So, yeah, I won't disagree. It's been a great, great run.
You know, when you're doing a movie like Step Brothers and obviously working with Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly, those guys are obviously comedic geniuses, as everybody knows. They're pretty funny. You and so many of your scenes were a lot funnier in them.
And so great.
And you're just fabulous. I absolutely love the scene in the bedroom when you guys they want to build bunk beds, and you're just absolutely hilarious. I do that to my son all the time, you know, like without the curse words. Obviously, he's only 10. But just can you tell me, like, what was that like working with those guys?
It was hard keeping up. I mean, they're quick. This guy's got brains that move about 200 miles an hour. Very funny. I remember when I said in that line, no power tools. I heard this drill going off, and I said, no power tools, Dale. And he said, it's my electric toothbrush. threw that out.
You know, the thing about working with different types of actors and different types of styles and different types of genres, you do always have to be on your toes. So where'd you get your training?
I went to Illinois Wesleyan University.
Yeah, you did.
And then I just kind of started to figure it out. Worked with a great coach, Harold Guskin, who wrote a wonderful book called How to Stop Acting. And he kind of changed and gave me direction, and so I took off from there. But I was on stage in a repertory theater for 15 years before I did my first movie.
So here's the premise on The Hollers. A guy comes back to his small hometown because he heard mom is sick and she's about to undergo surgery. That's not a strong elevator pitch. But Krasinski, who's got a lot of thump in Hollywood, must have really believed in it as well.
Well, it's a great, you know, it's a great script. When you read the dialogue and you read the characters, if you're an actor, you go, this is something I want to do. And John is an actor, first and foremost, and he's actually a terrific director. I think the cast is amazing. I mean, Anna Kendrick.
Charlie Day?
Charlie Day. Josh Groban is in it.
Josh Groban is actually very funny.
He's hilarious. Could I get a ticket for your concert? No, you cannot. You know, he's hilarious.
Right. All right. So I know there's one thing that you want to know from Ryan Dempster, and that is, if you get to town during the playoffs, where will your tickets be?
And is Billy Williams in town?
Billy's there. We'll get you a seat right next to him.
Oh, no. This can't be true, and it is. So I don't know why you're bringing it up.
I'm a special assistant to the president. I can make these things happen.
Yeah, Ryan can make those things happen, and this is Ryan's way of saying thank you for Step Brothers.
Well, if you made it happen, Ryan, I would do Step Brothers 2 for free.
was there somebody who was the actor or somebody early on in your career where you were like, you watched them, you worked with them or her, and you were just like, wow, that really, really made an impact on me and put me down the right path to doing what I aspired to do?
Well, it's interesting because growing up, watching Brando was like, who is this and what is this? But I didn't even know what it was. But when I was deciding if I could do this for a living, is there a possibility? I don't know. I went to a movie by myself, and it was Alfie with Michael Caine.
Wow.
And I don't know if you guys have even ever seen it. And I sat in the theater and thought, if I could do something like that.
Yeah, how about that?
Worthwhile, and that's when I decided that I'm really going to do this. This is what I'm going to try and do.
And Michael Caine,
never met him. No, never met him. I was doing a movie in England. He was on the next sound stage, and I heard he was there, and I ran over, and he'd gone already.
Wow!
But I always wanted to tell him, but he's always fantastic. But that performance, I just watched it the other night, about 2 weeks ago. I put the DVD in and watched it. Yeah.
Michael Caine is the only guy that's done one more movie than Richard Jenkins.
Yeah, and that's because we were both up for that same part, and he got it.
Right, and he got it instead. Hey, good luck with The Hollers. I know it's going to be great. And, you know, this Cubs chip, we can cash this in, so keep it in mind.
Oh, man, don't even joke about it. Don't even joke about it. Would that be amazing? See the Cubs? Oh, my gosh. Okay.
You want to throw a little Catalina wine mixer in there?
Yeah, well, it's going to, I mean, it's a Cubs playoffs. It's the effing Cubs playoffs.
I can't because you'll bleep me.
Right? Yeah, that's exactly right. All the best, man. Thank you for doing this.
Thanks.